Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1146, and this is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode is Paris Lilly.
What is going on? What's going on, man? How you doing?
It's a couple things going on, man. A couple things. You know, with this OLED announcement from Nintendo, State of Play. I definitely want to talk to you about that. And yeah, it's a couple news there. You know, it's summer. Usually it's not. It's a little slow after E3, but it's good to see that there's some news here and there coming up, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
man. Good. It's good. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, also post your review. If you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris. So like I was saying, State of Play just happened. And also Nintendo Switch OLED. So I want to ask you this question, man. Because I am planning to pre-order this device, the Nintendo Switch, right? It was just announced. It's going to be $349, a little bit more than the older previous version, and also more than the Nintendo Switch Lite. What are your thoughts about this, Paris? It's coming out the same day as the new Metroid Dread. This is also coming out in October, same day, October 8th.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get it. I'm not happy about it, but I am, because this is what Nintendo does, and it's just enough of an upgrade that I feel like I want it, because I've wanted a bigger screen. I want the OLED. That's great. But it sucks that other than that, it's no different than the current Switch as far as battery life goes, Joy-Cons, things like that. I wanted to see those upgrades as well. Not being 4K doesn't really bother me that much. I don't think a Switch needs to be 4K, but it's a little disappointing that we're going to get this OLED Switch. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, don't be shocked if next year we get the quote unquote Switch Pro, because Nintendo's track record with the DS shows you they are not afraid to make multiple versions of the Switch models, and that we're starting, or, you know, just their handheld models. We saw it with the DS. Now we're starting to see it with the Switch, because this is technically the fourth Switch model already, technically, right? Because you got the original, you got the original Switch, you got the Switch Lite. They revised the original Switch that has a little bit of better CPU, better battery life, and then now this OLED.
Yeah. You're right. I was like, wait, counting. I was like, wait, is it four?
Yeah.
See, I have the original launch Switch. You have the same one?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have a launch Switch, so I don't have the one with the better battery.
Okay, yeah. So here's the thing. This is the main reason why I want to get this is, first of all, I'm disappointed that it's not like the Nintendo Switch Lite, the controllers. The D-pad, it still has the same buttons as the previous one, the older one. And I'm not a big fan of that at all. So that's why I usually play with my Pro Controller every time I play Nintendo Switch. But I am happy to see the stand is a lot better than the old one, because the original launch for the Switch, it was like a little stand. So let's say you're playing like during the flight, the device will easily was just drop. That part also will break. So I'm very, very happy to see that the stand is a lot bigger and is stronger. So you could even put the device all the way, almost like laying down on the floor. It's really, really cool. Also, built-in wired LAN port, which I think is very, very important, because if you play like games like Apex or any other games, multiplayer, on the Switch, it could get very laggy because it's all Wi-Fi. So having this where you could connect your wired internet cable there. I think that's a plus for me, man. So 64 gigabyte internal storage though, Paris? Because I have a micro SD card in there. So you're happy with this? That it's a little bit more than old ones?
That's what I'm saying. I liking it to Breaking Bad. It's a half measure. All this is a half measure to me. It's just good enough to get me to go, you know what? Ah, screw it. I'll go get it. Because to me, none of this is mind blowing. Honestly, sure, the stand thing is great, but that's not a on its own. That's not like, oh my God, this amazing thing. The land port, you should have had it in there from day one. So again, not really giving you kudos for that. It's like I'm literally sitting here complaining, but I already know I'm going to get it. So it's like,
that's the same thing. Yeah,
this is what Nintendo does. This is what they do. They give you just enough to make you want to go buy it. You'll complain, but you're going to buy it. And then your old one, you'll hand it down to someone else, and then you're just adding to their install base. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. But see, two things that I noticed, because once I got to watch the announcement trailer about the device. One, everything was just like outdoor stuff. There wasn't really much of the TV mode. It was all on the go, handheld mode every single time, and also a tabletop mode. That's what they showed. Another thing too, and I think we were having this conversation, Paris, a couple days ago on Clubhouse, like this was more meant for people that don't have a Nintendo Switch. This could be their first device out of all the versions that already came out throughout the years. So, but you have people like us that will buy on day one because we're just fans of Nintendo. And here's my question to you. You buy this, let's say next year, there's a new device. Now it's a 4K version. Are you going to buy that one too?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Paris. Why are you like this?
Because I'm an adult and I could do that. But dude, yeah, you know I am. I'm not going to lie to myself and go, of course I won't. Yeah, I'll get it. I'll wind up getting it because it'll probably do something that's just enough to make me go, you know what? Screw it. I'll get it. Now I'll say this. If it was just 4K and basically if in handheld mode, there was really no difference between the Switch Pro and the OLED one, maybe I wouldn't, but I'm gonna tell you right now, they're gonna fix those Joy-Cons, dude. They're gonna fix the Joy-Cons. It's gonna do 4K. It's probably the games are probably it'll probably, because in handheld mode, I believe it's still 720p, right? For the OLED. It'll probably be 1080p in handheld. Like, they'll do enough to make you say, okay, I want that. And you're gonna go get it. I'm telling you, this is what they do. And you'll run out and go get it.
Yeah, and it's crazy. This $349. This is more than the Series S.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Same color and all.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit more, but it's on the go. Huh. Interesting.
And again, I'm speaking from myself. I can justify it in for me because I can hand down my current Switch to my kids. Because right now, my daughter has a Switch. My oldest daughter has the Animal Crossing Switch. My youngest daughter has the Switch Lite. My son uses mine. So I could be like to my son, here you go. You take this one. Now I'll just have my own. Now we all have a Switch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's good.
This is how Nintendo gets you, dude. Oh, Jesus. They decide to get you every time.
And you gotta get the family plan then for like the Switch Online and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah. It's crazy. But I'm just wondering. I mean, Nintendo's and they're doing their own thing. It's not like they're trying to compete with like PlayStation or Xbox at all. They're not competing with them. They're doing fine. Nintendo Switch has been number one now for like I don't know how many months or how many years now. Every single month, so it's selling. It's selling while you have PlayStation and Xbox just struggling just to have new consoles out there in stores because it sells out quickly. But then there's a dry time where there's no consoles for a while until the new ones comes out. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy how they're doing it, doing this, man. But I don't know if I get this. I don't know if I'll get the 4K version. If that happens next year, I think I'll be fine with this for a while. Because I never got the new version with the better battery life. Never got the Nintendo Switch Lite. I still have the OG Nintendo Switch, and I'm fine with that. I've been still playing my games and everything there, you know, like Mario Golf and a lot of the indie games.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like same. I saw no need to go to that other Switch with the better battery because really that was the only improvement. And I'm fine. I'm not going to go spend $300 just to get a slightly improved battery. Whereas if they fix the Joy-Cons and now the screen is still 7 inches, it's still OLED, but now it does 1080p, maybe, you know, the games would obviously play at 60 frames, stuff like that. That might make me say, okay, I'll go get that one too. You know,
yeah,
I could see that, but at a minimum, they got to fix the Joy-Cons. That's probably my biggest disappointment with this OLED one, because I felt like this was the opportunity to improve the Joy-Cons and they didn't, which tells me they're going to do it next year, probably with Zelda. It's probably going to
be here's the thing that I want to ask you, because I've been reading a lot of the feedback from, like, you know, fans of Nintendo and just the media. They're not really that crazy about this announcement. They're not happy about it. A lot of people wanted that more powerful Nintendo Switch, 4K. I think people want more of the more powerful console of, like, you know, more FPS, faster loading, more storage. But honestly, OLED, that's the only, I don't know.
But it's a bigger screen. That's,
oh, of course, 7 inch. Yeah.
To me, that's the bigger thing for me. I did want a bigger screen. I was like, oh, so because like when we first saw the announcement, like when it first came out that morning, I got super excited. I go, oh, this is it. I got excited. I was like, here we go. And then when I started reading, wait, they didn't fix the Joy-Con. Oh, man. Wait, no CV, no bet. Oh, like every time I found out more about it, I got a little disappointed, because knowing it was a bigger screen and OLED, I was like, oh, man, this is, here we go. So, again, now, it's a half measure, dude. It's a half measure.
So what made you decide, because you were excited, then you saw the tweets, and then you start learning more about the device. When you decided, you know what, I'm going to pre-order it.
Oh, well, I just tapped out. I was just like, y'all got me. I'm not even going to pretend like I'm not going to get it, because I do want a bigger screen. So for me, like I said, in my house, I can justify it because I do want a bigger screen. And my original Switch, I can literally just give it to my son full time. Here you go.
Yeah. Now, for those who are listening, let us know your thoughts about this new Nintendo Switch OLED announcement. Are you planning to get it? Are you going to tap out? Are you going to go with the OG version or maybe the Nintendo Switch Lite? Let us know. Fanmail@gamertagradio.com or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR.
I do have a question. All right, Pat. I do have a question, though. You still can't transfer digital games to a new hardware, can you?
Yes, you can.
Can you?
Yeah. Because there's people that transfer their games to the new hardware.
Okay.
They've done that. Yeah. That would be insane if you can't.
But no, I guess that's my question. But you can't do it on, like, again, thinking of my son, right? I got a lot of physical disc ones, but I have some digital ones too. So, like, if he has, I don't know, I'm just pulling a game out of my butt, but Mario Maker 2, let's just say it's Mario Maker 2 is on the current Switch. We all got our profiles on it. We switch back and forth playing it. Now I get a new one. Can I transfer that to the new Switch, but then he can still access it on the older one? See, I don't think so. That's what I'm saying.
I think you can, because I've seen people transferring their games and their profiles to the new devices. I just don't know. I don't know much about it. I think it's like wirelessly. They connect together, and from there, that's how you transfer. But also, remember too, Paris, you log in to that device using your profile, and you could go to the store and anything that's digital, you could re-download it again, because I've done that plenty of times.
So and good. That's good if you can. I'm trying to think of this in real time. Again, let's just say it's Mario Maker 2. Both of us want to play Mario Maker 2, but we can't. I don't think.
Do you have the family plan?
That's what I'm asking. Is there there is a thing like that? Because I legit don't know.
So this is how it works. If you have the family plan, you all have all your saves through the cloud of Nintendo, Nintendo Switch Online. Yeah, so even if you re-download these games on any device, you can also re-download using your account the saves. So okay. Your son probably is going to have his own save because he has his own profile.
Right, he does. And, yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to have your own. As long as you have that Nintendo Switch Online service or subscription, you'll be fine.
Okay, I'm at because I've never looked into it because I've never had to because like I said, my oldest daughter she plays Animal Crossing and her own games on her Switch, and then my youngest daughter now she'll play like Fortnite and stuff on her Switch, but then we all still have on the main Switch our profiles on there, and like my son or something, oh I want to play Mario or whatever, and he just goes on his profile and plays, but it, like I said, if I get this other one now that becomes a thing, so yeah I'll have to look into it. Yep.
Yeah, I think I don't know how many you could fit in the family plan. I just can't remember that at all. But I know that if you don't have, let's say, Paris, let's say you sign up for a year, right? And you've been saving your games through your device and also through the cloud. And you stop, let's say you forgot to change the credit card or whatever, your information, to resubscribe to the Nintendo Switch Online. You have a couple of days before everything gets erased. Okay. Completely. Yeah. Because at first, it was like the next day or even right down the spot. If you miss that payment, you won't have access to the Nintendo Switch Online and you won't have access to your cloud.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. It's only $20 a year. it's super easy. Now, if I'm wrong, please let me know because I've done this plenty of times, but I don't have a family plan. But I think that's how it works because when you sign up, Paris, it probably said to ask you like how many people you want to fit, want to be part of this subscription service for the whole year of your family, right? Oh, you don't know?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. It's all good. Yeah.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Right, Gamer Tag Radio listeners, guess what? My third session at Bright is coming up actually next week, July 20th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. And this is called Podcasting 101 Content and Distribution. For the past couple months now, I've been having these sessions and it's been packed. A lot of people going there and they're also asking me questions about how can I get an audience? How can I promote? How can I get content, interviews, etc.? This session is very important if you want to become a podcaster, a content creator. This is a must event that you need to attend. And it's been getting great reviews from everybody. So far, every session I have has been 4.8, 4.9 out of 5 of all the attendees they attended. So this is your opportunity right now, Tuesday, July 20th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific. I'm going to have my sessions. You could reserve your spot. There's only a certain amount of people that can attend. So this is your opportunity right now to go to brightlive.com to reserve your spot to attend this event. Now, if you're listening to the podcast, this also, the link is there under the description of this episode. Make sure you get your reserve your spot and I'll see you there.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
Now let's go for the next topic, Paris, because this is the thing that I really don't get. I get why people are mad about this, about the announcement of OLED. I completely understand, you know. But at the same time, I blame people that have been spreading the rumors about it, right? So that's one thing. The other thing that I want to ask you about, you know, we heard about PlayStation having a new state of play, and they were going to focus on indie titles and the main game, Deathloop. So I was like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. I knew it was not going to be no E3 type showcase or anything like that. You know, I just knew that it was just going to be a normal state of play, right? So it went live, watch it. Everybody's going to have different opinions about it, you know, which is fine. But then I go online and people are disappointed, thinking like, this was going to be some like E3 type showcase. And there was also people mad that PlayStation didn't show anything about the new Final Fantasy. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't get it. They told you from the get what they were going to show. Why people are mad? Either they didn't notice, they didn't read the blog post or what? Or they were expecting a lot more, I guess. But what you think about that? Because I was super confused about that.
Well, no, my thing on it is pretty simple. You can only communicate so much and people still aren't going to pay attention to what you say. And they're going to they're not going to set their expectations accordingly. And then they're going to be let down with what you get. I went in with very low expectations on what we were going to get. And it was fine mm-hmm. for what it was. I wasn't really expecting too much more than what we saw yesterday mm-hmm. with the state of play. So it's like, it was fine. I mean, sure. Would you have liked to have seen more? Of course, but they never promised you more. But it happens every time. It happens every time for everything. Look, every Nintendo Direct, you always see people, oh, they didn't show this, they didn't do that. You know, I'm used to it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that PlayStation highlighted a couple new, you know, indie titles there, which is cool. And we already seen a presentation of Deathloop, so I'm happy that the crowd now finally got to see this for the first time. You know, I'm very excited to play Deathloop later this year. Actually, it's in September, right? September it comes out?
Yeah, it comes out 14th, I believe. Yeah.
14th. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm very, very excited about the game. Like all the things that you could do, because I feel like everybody's going to have their own way how they're going to finish like a mission or a level. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very, very happy about it. But the thing that kind of, I don't know if PlayStation needs to make some changes or what, but I feel like the presentation overall was just kind of boring. I liked what they showed, but it seems very robotic, I think. I don't know, maybe they need to put people on camera to talk more, you know what I'm saying? Because there were titles that I felt it was cool. But that part of just the typical state of play, not a fan. I think I had a great time watching last year, like their showcase, because they had people on camera. You know, trying to say Paris. Like I think they need to make some type of changes, man. Because look, Nintendo's has done that, you know, with having some people on camera talking about their games and about the announcements and get the excited crowd. But when there's like nobody and there's just, I don't know. Well, you feel about the same thing about it? No?
I would say, hey, if they need a host, I know a guy. You know.
Oh, there you go. There you go. The spy. We have the spy here, Paris.
Let's talk about that for a second, real quick. Yeah. Let's talk about that. That's hilarious.
Because people don't know about that.
So, go ahead. So look, it's a thing we talk about all the time. Is don't go read the comments. The comments are always chaos. Don't read the comments. It's a waste of time. Don't do it. Well, I did it anyways because I was curious. I was like, let me go because I was on Kind of Funny's State of Play live reaction. So I went in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what? I'm like I wasn't even looking for me. I was just curious what people thought because kind of exactly on our topic. I was wondering what did people think of the State of Play, right? So I was like, oh, I'll go and read some of the comments. So I'm reading some of the comments and I read one that said they were upset that I was on the State of Play because it was PlayStation because, you know, I guess I'm only an Xbox guy. I can only comment on Xbox stuff. And so then I start reading some other comments and dude was like, wait, why do you care if Paris is on there? You know, Paris talks about all kind of games. Guy, why am I talking about myself in third person? So weird. But anyways, yeah. why do you care he's on there? And the person said he cared because I hosted the Xbox event. And because I hosted the Xbox event, that clearly means that I'm biased towards the Xbox and I'm an insider spy on Kind of Funny by being on PlayStation stuff. I was like,
that makes no sense.
I was like, I'm done. I'm so done. I go, literally can't win. It's so funny. But obviously anyone listening to this that knows me and has listened to this show for years. No, dude, it can be freaking ColecoVision. I'm going to just tell you how it is. If I love it, I love it. If I don't, I don't. Doesn't matter what system it is.
Yeah, yeah. So strange. But yeah, man, PlayStation, if you want to hire, you know, someone that is actually a spy for Xbox, hey, go ahead.
I'm the spy. Make sure. I'm the Xbox spy.
hashtag spy.
Yeah. Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. So, what you thought about the state of play overall for you? Like, was there any games that stood out to you? besides Deathloop?
I like Fist. I like Jet. Sifu. If I'm saying that right, looks really interesting because the guys that made Absolver are making that game, and that last trailer they showed like it looked like your skill, like you remember he was aging, like he was in his 30s, and then by the end he was in his 50s. Yeah, and it seems like you're the older you get, you know, your skill goes up. So that was kind of cool. So I'm interested to see that. And again, Deathloop, ironically enough, what everyone saw in the Deathloop thing for State of Play, we had already saw during the Deathloop preview. So we had already seen that stuff, but it was still cool to see again. At this point, I mean, Deathloop's a day one. It's not even a question at this point. But like I said, I just set expectations accordingly. So I just thought it was okay. I think I had responded to Jeff Keighley saying that. I was like, it was okay. It was okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, nothing mind blowing, nothing terrible. It was just solid stuff. And like I said, Fist and Jet kind of stood out to me as games I definitely want to check out.
You know, it's funny watching that State of Play, that game where they were showing the character aging every time he would lose or something. It was on my birthday yesterday too, right? While I was watching, I'm like, oh man, look, 44. 47,
yeah, yeah.
49,
yeah.
50. I'm like, oh man, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this on my birthday? It's so crazy. By the way, Paris, so Jeff Grubb is back. There's some news that I just found out right now.
What'd he say?
I'm not surprised about this. We've been saying this for a while. This is from GameRant.com, guys, if you want to check it out. But according to Insider, they always call him Insider. Insider Jeff Grubb. Microsoft still plans on phasing out its Xbox Live Gold service eventually. He says, I've said that Xbox Live Gold is going away. It's going to go away. Whether or not they're actively talking about it right now, I don't know, but they still have it on the roadmap saying Xbox Live Gold will drop at some point in the future. I mean, it's obvious. I think it makes a lot of sense for Xbox to do that if they really want to just focus on Game Pass, Game Pass Ultimate, just, you know, that type of services. I'm not surprised about all this at all, but I don't know why this is like news right now.
No, none of it surprises me. And I actually did see when Jeff had said that earlier, but yeah, not surprising. It would make sense. They're not going to get rid of something that is a revenue stream for them until the other thing they want to replace it, which is Game Pass, gets to a high enough subscription count that it makes sense to get rid of it. So, of course, they're not going to get rid of it. What they're going to continue to do is say that, again, this is why they were going to start charging you $120 for new people to come in earlier this year, because they wanted to dissuade people from wanting to get it so they go get Game Pass. Why am I getting that? I might as well go subscribe to Game Pass. So that's all that is. You know what I mean? So I do see Gold going away probably by holiday 2022, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. 2022, I think, is a little bit too early, Power. I think maybe 23, 24 sounds more like it. I feel like Game Pass is a little bit too new for a lot of people still. You know what I'm saying? So give it more of that time for people to just decide to go to Game Pass, I think, makes sense. But 2022, in my opinion, will be a little bit too soon. But we'll see. Maybe you're right. By the way, Paris, so yesterday was Video Games Day. So I have a question for you. What was your first video game that you ever played?
Wait, say that part again. I apologize.
Yeah. Yesterday was Video Game Day.
Yeah.
All right. So my question to you, what was your first video game that you ever played? Like, first one that you
Pretty
played?
Pretty sure it was Pong. It had to have been Pong or whatever variant of it that was, because I remember the first video game system. It wasn't the Atari 2600. It was that Sears knockoff Atari. And I just remember, I'm pretty sure it was Pong. Had to have been.
Pong.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it was Pac-Man. Either Pac-Man or Defender. So I played Pac-Man on arcade. And then I got the Atari 2600. So I also got Pac-Man for that and Defender. But when you compare the Atari 26 version of Pac-Man and Pac-Man Horrible. Arcade,
yeah,
two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible game for the Atari, but I got it because I got so addicted to the arcade. You know what I'm saying? So that was my first, was just Pac-Man arcade.
Yeah, I mean, I know for sure. Like, once I got the Atari 2600, it was Combat was probably the big one. Adventure, the NFL game that was on there. Yeah, that Raggedy Pac-Man, but that was later on.
You know, I never heard of the Sears knockoff. You always bring that up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Sears knockoff?
There's a Sears version of the Atari 2600. I'm literally going to Google it right now while we're talking.
Yeah. Was that like an exclusive for Sears only?
Back then it was the Wild Wild West, so I think it was, who knows? Hold on, I literally just Googled and found it. Why Atari would agree to a Sears Atari 2600 clone in the late 70s. I won't read through the whole thing, but there was one. Yeah, it was a partnership between Atari and Sears.
Oh, because back then, so this is what happened. Like a lot of young folks, they don't know about this. So when the Atari came out back in the days, there was no license to have your games on the platform. Anybody could just create a game and just put it there. You know, like, I'm going to keep it real. I remember seeing a friend of mine that he had like a sex game for Atari. I was like, wait, they sell this in stores? Like, yeah. I was like, wait, what? This is not for kids. What is this? It's so weird. And but they had no licenses back then. Nintendo was the one that decided to have licenses. You need to get permission from Nintendo and approved by Nintendo in order for your games to be available there on that console. But there were so many like that, the Atari, that it hurt Atari because there was a lot of bad games back then that people just got fed up on buying Atari 2600 games. They were like, you know what? This is garbage. That's why years later, right before Nintendo was coming out in the States, the Atari 2600 was $50. And that's the one, Paris, that my grandmother purchased. She bought three of those because it was so cheap.
Yeah.
It was $50. Yeah.
So I looked it up, and yeah, it was an exact clone of the Atari 2600. It was a little bit cheaper. Played all the same games. And then, like, I'm looking at a video of it now. It was like the Sears Telegames Atari 2600 came with the two paddles. Yeah, because I remember the paddles because it was a kid. So absolutely it was Pong that I was playing because we were doing the paddles back and forth. Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's dope. What game I don't really remember playing it. Pitfall. I don't remember playing
it. Yeah, Pitfall. Y'all, dude. Pitfall, Cosmic Arc, Defender. That Raggedy Asteroids. Donkey Kong. Yeah, Asteroids obviously was a big one back then.
Yeah.
Space Invaders. So you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, if Pong was the first I played, Space Invaders had to have been like second.
Had to have been
Space Invaders, because Space Invaders was really the game that made the arcade, that set everything off for games. So it had to have been Space Invaders. Yeah.
So for you, Pong was your not only your first game, but also your first local co-op game
or multiplayer. Yeah, game? Had to have been, right? Yeah, with the paddles. Yeah,
mm-hmm. my first one that I actually played with a friend was Combat.
Now,
remember Combat, the tanks.
That's what I said. When I had the legit Atari 2600, Combat was the first game I had. Yeah, yeah.
Combat. What else? I'm trying to think. So, there was a baseball game too.
They had the baseball game on there. Again, it was all generic looking. Now, here's a memory I have talking those early days. Mm-hmm. So, because I remember this vividly. So, I went to the 1982 World's Fair in Knoxville, Tennessee. They had the whole Pac-Man Expo there. And I think I've talked about this before. I got lost at the World Fair, but really I didn't get lost because I was at the Pac-Man Expo playing Pac-Man the whole time. But that's not the reason for the story. So the reason I bring that up is that summer we did a trip up the whole Eastern Seaboard. Like, we went all the way from Florida all the way up to like Vermont or New Hampshire, came down through Ohio, and then came back down to Tennessee to go to the World's Fair. Now, I don't remember what state this was. I don't remember exactly when. This is all I remember. At some point, we stopped at a Sheraton hotel, you know, to stay for the night. And they had a little arcade inside the hotel. It's the first time I ever saw Donkey Kong. Was that summer, and played Donkey Kong. And I thought it was the greatest thing ever, dude. Yeah, that I'll have that memory. That's a memory that stands. Like, I remember the first time I saw Pac-Man. I remember the first time I saw Donkey Kong. I remember the first time I saw Zaxxon. I remember the first time I saw that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle four player co-op game.
Yeah.
What's another one that sticks out to me? I remember the first time I saw Defender. Like these are just memories I have, because at that time you had never seen anything like these games before, right? It was freaking wild. Speaking of, I know we're really going off track, but remember the TV show Starcade?
Yeah, I remember Starcade.
Oh, dude, remember, and people are like, what the hell is Starcade? But it was literally like a video game show that was like on TBS or something. You remember when they showed, and then when they had Dragon Quest on, was it Dragon Quest? Dragon Quest, right? The cartoon. Remember, it was the cartoon?
I'm trying to remember. I remember Starcade.
It's called Dragon Quest, right?
Yeah,
not Dragon Quest.
No,
what was it called? Because Space Ace was the other one that was like it, where it was the cartoon.
Oh, you're talking about Dragon Slayer?
Dragon Slayer, there you go. Because that was,
What the hell you got Dragon Quest from?
It's because it's a game. That's another game. It's a Japanese game. But my point is, I remember Starcade had Dragon's Lair because they had like a contest or something to be able to get through it. One of the contestants had to beat it or whatever. So that was like early 80s. That had been like 83.
Yeah.
Something like that up in there somewhere.
And Netflix is working on a new one too. So, by the way, speaking of Donkey Kong Paris, can you believe today as
40 years
recording 40 years.
Yeah,
that is insane.
Wild. And you know the story why it's called Donkey Kong, right?
I can't remember quite well, but I know that Nintendo took Universal to court.
Yes, because
they thought
it was going to be Donkey Kong. Yeah, yeah. Or not Donkey Kong, yeah. King Kong. Yeah, yeah.
King Kong. Yeah, they're saying, "Oh, they're copying our IP, this and that." But Nintendo won that trial.
Yeah,
they won.
So I'm looking right now. Yeah, Starcade was a game show where contestants competed against each other playing arcade video games. The series aired on TBS from 1982 to 1983.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, GTR listeners, we're going to continue with the show, but first let's talk about our sponsor, Bespoke Post. This summer, Bespoke Post is here to take your ventures to the next level with a new lineup of must-have Box of Awesome collections. That's right, Box of Awesome collections. Bespoke Post partners with small businesses and emerging brands to bring you the most unique goods every month. So for me, I went to the website and I selected Weekender. The Weekender is perfect for me because this is a package where I have a carry-on bag. This is like the perfect bag for traveling. I'm going to Punta Cana later this year and I'm planning to take this. I'm going to put my Nintendo Switch there, my recording equipment for the podcast, because yes, I'm going to be recording over there. And it looks awesome. I'm going to take a picture of that once I have it available here. So you guys can check it out because it's coming like anytime now. So I can't wait for that, man. But look, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered from travel and out gear to breezy summer styles and grooming goods. Box of Awesome has collections at every part of your life. So you could go right now and select, look, you want to do some taco night. This one package is called Echo. Let's say you're into your drinks, you want to make your own, etc. This one called Island. There's another one called Juiced. Let's say you like camping. There's one of Trail. There's so many good, cool boxes there where you could go right now and sign up and get your own. So to get started, it's super easy. Take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answer will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every single month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel at any time. So each box costs only $45, but guess what? But it has over $70 worth of gear inside. So GTR listeners, take advantage of this. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter code GTR at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code GTR for 20% off your first box. We'd like to thank Bespoke Pulse for sponsoring this episode of Gamer Tag Radio.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
Yeah, I know they're bringing right now. Netflix is bringing a lot of like the old shows and some of the video games now to like series or movies. Like today, Resident Evil just came out, a new game. Oh, and by the way, Powers, I'm gonna ask you one more thing before we wrap it up. This I think is very important. But yeah, I know they also announced the return second season of The Witcher, which is December 17th, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but I know the second season is coming out December.
December 17th.
So I just want to mention that. And also one more thing, Paris, before we go to the last topic here. I was browsing YouTube. And you know when you click a video, an ad will pop up? I just got to see an ad of Cyberpunk 2077 for the PlayStation. It says now in the PlayStation store. I was like, wow. I can't believe that. Just want to say that real quick. But anyways, Paris, so my last thing I want to mention is the rumor about this Assassin's Creed live service game. I don't know if I'm ready for that, man.
I will literally bring up the tweet that I put out about that just yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
But yeah, hold on. I don't know
how I feel about that, man. Not really too happy about it, because I like Assassin's Creed just being Assassin's Creed. What I think that the game needs is some new experiences, man. Like Black Flag, that was like a big change for the series. You know, now the most recent ones, really good. They need to start adding new experiences in the game, not a live service. I don't know.
So here's what I tweeted, and I'll expand upon this because we've had some more information. But I just said, hey, Ubisoft, instead of making an Assassin's Creed live service nobody is asking for, make Splinter Cell in all caps. And the reason I said that is simple. We have so many Assassin's Creed games already. Everybody wants to see Sam Fisher come back. You keep teasing it, you won't make the game. So instead of that, why don't you take those resources? And if you don't even want to do Splinter Cell, make a new IP. Do something other than the same thing that you've been doing since 2007. And yes, Assassin's Creed has been iterated upon. It's basically an open world RPG at this point. I get all that. But no one is asking for a live service game. Now, Jason Schreier kind of clarified after he broke this story and said that what they're basically doing is taking Montreal and Quebec studios and are combining efforts. And it's more about making smaller Assassin's Creed experiences. Like basically what Ubisoft is doing is what Microsoft is doing with Halo and Forza, where they're turning it into a platform, right? Where it'll just be the base game, but they'll continue to iterate on. We see that with Sea of Thieves right now, stuff like that. So that's what they're talking about with this Assassin's Creed, where you'll get new stories and new different experiences in the quote unquote Assassin's Creed universe. It won't always just be the same game over and over, which I get. And it's probably fine. I'm not against it, so to speak, but I am against Ubisoft has IPs that are sitting on the shelf that they could be utilizing instead of continuing the dip into the same well over and over again. You're going to burn the franchise out. They damn near had already done it and had to take a little bit of break, reinvented themselves into Origins and then not Valhalla, and then what's the one I'm missing? Odyssey, right? Those I was fine, but even that, all right, after Valhalla, take a break from that, do something else. But I don't know, man. I'm not against it. I'm just not jumping up and down excited for it, because where's Beyond Good and Evil 2? Again, where's Sam Fisher? There's other stuff they can be doing with Ubisoft IPs instead of just doing this.
When we got to see Beyond Good and Evil, I'm trying to remember what year it was. At E3.
Seemed like it was 10 years ago. I don't know. I don't remember.
It was a long time ago.
Was it like 2015 maybe?
Was it 2015?
It's been a while. It's been a long time since they first teased that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But see, at first, Paris, when I read about Assassin's Creed Live Services, I thought it was going to be like an Avengers game, that type of thing. Not a fan of that. It works for maybe like games like Division, stuff like that, right? But yeah, I if it's like that, I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. I just would want to see a new Splinter Cell game. What's the name of the one that came out for the Wii U? Was it Rayman? Oh my God, I'm trying to remember the name. But anyways, they have some really good stuff there, man, for Ubisoft. They could definitely...
Yeah, Prince of Persia. It's all kind of stuff they could be doing.
Yeah, because I think Splinter Cell, they're having a new one coming out in the future. You know, they should definitely take advantage of that. Similar to what, you know, CD Projekt Red did. You know, the Witcher series came out, and that helped to boost the sales of the Witcher game, Witcher 3. You know, that type of thing that Ubisoft can definitely do and take advantage of that, man. But we'll see, man. We'll see. I just feel like this whole, let's make a lot of these free games. And I don't know. They should make free games. That's fine. But also AAA games, man. Those are important too, man. You know? All right. No, is there anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up?
No. I mean, I guess that's pretty much it. I mean, we're in that summer period of the year where there's not going to be any like super big major releases coming out. I mean, there's definitely some indie games that are going to be coming out here over the next few weeks where I'm excited, like The Ascent, Death's Door, as an example. We know Psychonauts 2 is going to be coming at the end of August. Kena, I believe Kena's in September for PlayStation.
September.
And then obviously some of the stuff that we just saw in the State of Play is going to be coming here in the next few weeks as well. So, I mean, you know, support indie titles, man. I guess that would be the message I would say as we get out of here. There's going to be some great indie titles coming out here, you know, over the next few months that definitely, you know, should get our support.
Yeah, definitely. Doesn't matter which platform, just go and support, man. So, and if there's any recommendations out there of games that you think we should check out that's indie, please let us know too on Discord or hit us up on Twitter. We'll check it out, man, because I love discovering new games. That's my thing, man.
Yep.
So, all right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Make sure to search for Gamertag Radio, follow us, subscribe, post your review. If you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, thank you so much for recording this episode, man. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll come back here for more stuff, and hopefully you could give us some news on stuff that you've been spying, you know, so we could definitely have it here as an exclusive on GTR.
The Xbox spy never talks.
It never talks. All right, guys. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.